Welcome to the first of the Regina Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion. And we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Psalm 27, the Bible says this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then our verse of emphasis for today, I thought we should read the whole psalm just because it's an awesome psalm for you to have in your spirit, amen, is this final verse. Wait on the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Wait on the Lord. Somebody say it with me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. I want to preach a message by the Spirit just because we've preached here before, just Psalm 27 continued. Let us pray. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a, speak to me, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm a pastor and minister, licensed, ordained, all that. Do my best to live a life that's holy before God. I am like you, trapped in humanity too. Any human being, no matter whether they are a follower of God or not, who does not admit that they have struggles in their lives is not an honest person and cannot be trusted. The age group that is coming to power within our nation and even our world today, known as millennials, many of whom are young adults and postmodernists and somewhere in my age range, will tell you that one of the things that they value most and struggle most with about the church is a lack of transparency. They struggle with being in places where people tell you to do it but don't do it themselves. People oftentimes wind up doing this because they're afraid to acknowledge the fact that they have struggles. I, too, want you to know by the Spirit on this morning, I have struggles. Sometimes I hear God clearly, but I still doubt whether or not what he said will come to pass. I have struggles. I don't always feel like getting up as early as I should to study in the morning. I don't always want to read to Khalil before he goes to bed. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I have struggles. But despite it all, what I've learned is, God, if you're willing, come on, help me, somebody, will give you the strength that you need to rise above your struggles so that they do not overpower you and overcome you, and so that you'll still be able to do that which he's called you to do. It's not that you won't struggle, but it's that God will equip you by the power of his Holy Spirit to, in spite of the struggle, still be able to do what he has called you to do. Can I ask on this morning, has anybody got the testimony God has equipped you? It's not that you don't struggle. It's not that things haven't been hard. It's just that God has equipped you. And so you're able to handle the struggles that come your way. One of my struggles deals with patience. I hate waiting on God. I don't like waiting on God. There's nothing about waiting on God that gets me excited. When I get up in the morning, if God tells me this is a day where you're going to have to wait on me, I want to get back in my bed. I don't like to wait on the Lord. I just want to preach honestly to you on today. And here's why. When you are waiting on God, there's something that you need God to do. There's something that you want God to bestow upon your life. There's a miracle that you need. There's a breakthrough that you need. There's something that you've been waiting on and longing on. And when you're waiting on him, you want it right now. That's why you're waiting on him to bring it to you, because you want it. I don't like waiting on God. As a matter of fact, can I go ahead and be more honest? I'll tell you, one of the things that I hate being asked by a pastor, is, what is your favorite scripture? I don't have a favorite scripture, but I have one of my least favorites. One of my least favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, is from the book of James, where the Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter diverse temptations, knowing that the trials of your faith produce patience. But allow, I don't want to hear nothing about no trials. I had enough trials in my life. I don't want to hear count it all joy. I don't want to count it all joy. I want to cry sometimes. I want to complain sometimes. And I really don't want to hear that that produces patience. I want there to be another way for me to get patience without having to go through trials all the time. Oh, Lord, y'all are honest in here. Okay, so I want to have another way that I can get what God has for me without having to suffer. Every now and then I try to find the suffer-free route. But I've learned in my life there's no shortcut to waiting on God. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to wait on God. If God is going to do anything in your life, he's not going to do it on your timetable, baby. You're going to have to learn how to wait on the Lord. You're going to have to learn how to settle in and settle down. You're going to have to learn how to pass your time away, not crying, but celebrating the fact that at least you are alive to wait. You're going to have to learn how to wipe your brow. You're going to have to learn how to crave your sweat. You're going to have to learn how to clear the tears out of your eyes. You're going to have to learn that in this life, you'll have to wait on God. And that's where David is when he pins this psalm on today. Wait on the Lord, he says, and be of good courage, and God will strengthen your heart. While he's waiting on God, he's not there waiting idly. There's not nothing that's not going on. No. There are enemies all around him. There's trouble all around him. That's why he starts out and says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes come against me, they stumble and they fall. While he's waiting on God, while you're waiting on God, you've got to know that every now and then some things come after you while you're waiting on God. If you think that while you're waiting, you're just going to be left alone so that the promises of God can be fulfilled in your life,
I'm here to tell you, you believe the lie. As a matter of fact, I came to tell you that the enemy lies in wait. And when he sees that you're waiting on God, he will come after you. But that's all right. Because my Bible says that when they come after me, they stumble and fall. Wait on the Lord, the Bible says, and be of good courage. That means don't get down while you wait. Don't get sad while you wait. Lord, this is simple preaching. Oh, don't get low while you wait. As a matter of fact, can I tell you that when the scripture says be of good courage, it means you've got to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, this is a challenge for the contemporary Christian, Reverend Marshall, because when we come to church, you wait for me to encourage you. Oh, God, help me in here. When we come to church, you wait for the choir to sing your favorite tune. I see you on Sunday morning, sitting still as a stone until your jam hits. Oh, when you come to church, you think it's the usher's job to wait on you when you come in the door. When you come to church, you think it's somebody up front that's supposed to do what needs to be done. But when David says be of good courage, what he means is you've got to learn how to encourage yourself. Every now and then when life gets you down, you cannot throw yourself a pity party. Isn't it funny? You know how to be sad all by yourself, but do you know how to be encouraged all by yourself? You know how to be lonely all by yourself, but do you know how to shout for joy all by yourself? You know how to cry all by yourself, but do you know how to preach to yourself? Oh, but I heard the Bible say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And when I'm of good courage, he will strengthen my heart. Now, if I read that passage of scripture, oh God, I feel like preaching now. Oh, y'all got to preach with me. I feel like preaching. When he says he will strengthen your heart, that is the word leb in Hebrew. That's your inner man. Good God Almighty. Oh, I got to preach this thing now. Do you know that God will allow things to stay the same on the outside? Oh God, but he'll do work on your inner man. As a matter of fact, I feel like preaching. Is there anybody here who can say, as a matter of fact, God did something crazy in my life. God allowed things on the outside to go down. He allowed them to deteriorate. He allowed me to get lower than I ever got. But something strange started to happen to me. Even though things went down on the outside, I still had joy in my heart. I still had a song on my lips. I still had praise in my mouth. As a matter of fact, Reverend Marshall, the reason why I can praise God like I can praise God now is because when life was getting low, when I was losing my home, and when I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills, I learned that the Lord will strengthen. Anybody been strengthened by your God? The Bible says if you wait on the Lord and you are of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. I want you to hear it clearly. It does not say that your problems will vanish. It does not say that all of your enemies will evaporate. It does not say that he will swallow them up like he did in the Old Testament when he opened up, oh Lord have mercy, the ground and swallowed them up and crushed them like a grape. It does not say that they will no longer be there. There are places in scripture where God promises to vanquish your enemies and God promises to do all those things, but not here. Here's what he says. He says if you wait on the Lord and you encourage yourself, God will put strength on the inside. Oh, God, help me in here. If all you want is a change on the outside, this is not your message. I'm telling you, this is not your message. If all you want is your situation to no longer be there, this preaching is not for you. If all you want is for God to show up and make everything that was coming against you evaporate, this sermon may not be much help today. But if you've learned in your life that even with struggle all around me, I cannot be perplexed. I can be distressed, but not be dismayed. I can be persecuted, but not be cast down. Oh, and even when I am cast down, I cannot be destroyed. If you've learned in your life that what you need is not strength on the outside, but when you are low, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh God, I feel like preaching. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to go. If you've learned in your life that God will give power to the faint, and to those who lack might, he increases their strength. If you've learned that if you wait on the Lord and you are of good courage, he will strengthen your heart. This is the message for you. This is the preaching for you. Sometimes the preaching gets complicated. Sometimes the word the pastor uses leave me scratching my head. I don't know about all that theology. I don't know about all that soteriology. I don't know about all that eschatology. But I know that I know that I know that the Bible says wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. I know what that means. That means stay where I am. That means be rooted. That means be steadfast. That means be unmovable. That means be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Somebody look at your neighbor now and say, neighbor, I know how to wait. I don't know how to do everything. I can't solve every problem. I don't have every answer. But he says, wait. Wait on the Lord. And I know how to wait. Is there anybody in the house on today who knows how to wait on the Lord? Every now and then, the devil will try to come after you. Every now and then, you'll feel like walking away. As a matter of fact, somebody in the house on today came in with tears in your eyes. Somebody in the house on today cried late last night. Somebody in the house on today felt like giving up, felt like throwing in the towel. But my God, oh God, help me in here, said, wait on the Lord. He said, Omar, just tell him wait. Tell him don't move. Tell him be steadfast. Tell him I see him. Tell him I know. Tell him I'll come by and by when the morning comes. Any by and by praisers in the house on the day who know that by and by when the morning comes, if I wait on the Lord, oh yeah, and I am of good courage, he'll strengthen my heart. And not only that, Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Whoa, they shall mount up. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Oh, wait on him. They shall mount up. Anybody feel like mounting up? They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How can that be? How can I walk and not faint? How can that be? How can I run and not be weary? Because when you wait on him, he'll pick you up, throw you on his back, carry you. Won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he do that for you? Oh, I know he will. I know he will. This is just an encouraging message. If you don't need to be encouraged, you can go ahead and leave now. If you don't need to be encouraged, you can stay in your seat. But if you need some encouragement, I came by to tell you, God will pick you up. God will dust you off. God will show you how to walk. Show you how to talk. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll tell you that it'll be all right. So by and by, when the morning comes, I know I'll be all right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come. Joy will come. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will. Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Oh, yes, he will. Won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he, won't he? Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Wait, just wait on God. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on waiting on God is waiting on God is difficult. I don't like waiting on the Lord. I'd much rather him just do it for me. And I apologize to all of the intellectuals in the house. I mean, like myself, sometimes I like being tickled with my intellectualism. I just felt like the Lord just told me, come by and just tell you, just wait on him. And I want to tell you, Frank, when you wait on the Lord, based on the definition that you see in ancient Hebrew, it means to expect something. It's not, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, have mercy. That's good. When you wait on the Lord, as he posits in this passage of Scripture, it's not just sitting there. This type of waiting, Reverend Pyfrom, involves expectation. I am waiting for something. I'm expecting God to move. I'm expecting God to show up. I'm expecting God to do something. And I want to tell you that while you're waiting on the Lord, there's a part of this definition in the English that means to feel neglected for a time. The waiting process is difficult for me because I feel like you forgot all about me. I feel like it hasn't happened yet. You were talking to me about this thing. I saw movement. I saw development. I saw growth. I saw progress. And for the last couple of months, I haven't heard anything from you. You haven't. And so I'm trying to understand, did you forget all about me? Did you neglect me? Oh. But I just hear the Lord saying, I haven't forgotten about you. Just wait on me. Oftentimes I feel neglected because the waiting process has lags in it. There are gaps in activity. But if you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he'll strengthen your heart. As I close, I want to tell you this story. When I was a little boy living in Richmond, my dad would take me to get my hair cut every other Friday. We would go to Genesis Barbershop, and Mr. Barney and Mr. Earl would cut my hair. This was back when, I don't even know if they still have vending machines. You know, remember the vending machines with the clear letters on them, C14 and... Well, I liked honey buns. Y'all remember, did y'all have honey buns up here? If I ate a honey bun today, I'd probably go into diabetic shock. I used to love honey buns, and so I would look forward to getting my hair cut. Man, I feel the Spirit on me. Y'all bear with me if I get... And so my dad would give me change, and I would go, and I would go... take the change, and I put the change in the machine, and I expect to get a honey bun out. And so I push C14 or B12, whatever it is. It was C or B. I remember it was a weekly ritual for me. This machine was temperamental. It didn't understand that the way that this works is I put this in. And if I put this in, I expect to get something back from you. Now, when your shout comes, don't wait for anybody else on the row, you just shout. And so I would come and I would put my change in, and there were these spirals. You remember the spiral? That sucker would start turning, but it would stop. Sometimes the blessing is on the way, but it got stuck.
Lord, I feel like preaching.
And the Bible tells us to have childlike faith, Brother Nate. And so I didn't know a lot. I hadn't been to college yet. I hadn't been to high school. But this is what I knew. I knew I put my money in. I knew I put my praise in. I knew I had been doing my best to live right. I knew I had been praying like never before. I knew I had been fasting. I knew I had been living right. I knew I had been calling out. I was not perfect. The quarter may have been dingy, but it was a quarter. Nevertheless, I put it in, and I expected to get something back. And so even in my childlike mind, I didn't know anything about engineering. I didn't know how to work that machine, but let me tell you what I did know. I knew that if I put it in, I ought to expect to get something back. And so here's what I knew to do. I knew to grab that machine, and I knew to shake that bad boy, and I knew to rock that bad boy. I knew to bump up against that machine. I knew because if I hit it long enough, the blessing's gonna come down. I dare somebody in here, jump up on your feet, bang on heaven's gate, and the blessing will come down. The kingdom of heaven's up a violent, and the violent, they take it by force. You gonna give me my joy, you gonna give me my peace, you gonna give me my breakthrough, you gonna give me my deliverance, you gonna give me my sanity, you gonna give me my mind. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Yeah. So I came by to tell you, I don't know how long you've been waiting on today, but you ought to expect a miracle to come down. Is there any money here? You expect a blessing. You got up on this morning saying, I'm clothed and in my right mind, and I will bless the Lord at all times. And when I bless him, he's going to respond. He's going to take care. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? And if it's not here yet, hit that machine. Bang with your praise. Bang with your worship. Bang with your prayer. Bang with your fast. Bang on it. Slap it. Grab it. Say yeah. I didn't have a job when I was a child. Dr. Chris, I didn't know where to get money from. You know how precious 25 cent was to me? 25 cent used to get me, I mean, I don't know if y'all had these. We used to get quarter waters in the South. 25 cent to get you a quarter water, those little jugs, you push the top in, little jugs, I don't know what y'all call them up here. Hugs, yeah, we call them quarter waters because they cost a quarter. 25 cent to get you a little ice cream cup with the wooden spoon in the, 25 cent. I put all my money that I got this week in this machine, and you gonna get stuck right on the verge, and you think I'm gonna walk away? When all I gotta do is tap it just a few more times. Oh, Lord, help me. Somebody in here, you ready to walk away from the blessing of your life? When all you gotta do is tap it
just a few more times and it'll drop. And here's the last reason. This is going to sound bad. I know this is going to sound bad. I'm just telling you how I used to think. Can I just be honest with you? The other reason why I didn't want to leave it was because if I leave it, somebody else is going to come. You can't have my joy. You can't have my peace. You can't have my blessing. I want it all. No. You ain't gonna get my marriage. You ain't gonna get my wife. You ain't gonna get my husband. You ain't gonna get mine. No. You ain't gonna get my breakthrough. You ain't gonna get. No. I'll bang on you. I'll shake you up. I'll rock you. Yeah. Come on, let's open up. Open up the doors of the church house today. Nah. You'll walk away. If you're not careful, you'll walk away when you're right on the verge. You'll walk away when you're right on the verge. You'll walk away when you're right on the verge. And I you know what I think? I think sometimes God will let that thing turn. I think sometimes Reverend Pipe from God will stop it and sit back and see, now how bad you want this thing? Look, I want to see how bad do you really want it? Are you willing to pray for it? Are you willing to bang heaven for it? How? Kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Violent take it by force. Let's open up the doors of the church all today. Come on, put your hands together all over the place. Come on, you can do better than that. And maybe somebody here, you need a church home, you need a pastor in your life, you need to give your life to the Lord, you need to rededicate your life. Are you here on today? Is there one? Come on, let's put our hands together and encourage them. Is there one on today? Do you need to come? Do you need to join the church? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Are you here? Come on. Look around on your pew. If you see somebody, look at them. You sure you don't need to come encourage somebody? Are you here? Is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Are you here? Awesome church, awesome ministry, awesome leaders. Brother trying to be an awesome pastor. Are you here? Is there one on